Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The week off with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, but there is content added throughout the week, so swing on over there, check that out, see what's going on. Of course, if you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we'd greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burp Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. Dodger Burger is a third-pound special blend Angus patty topped with a Dodger dog, caramelized onion, barbecue Budweiser sauce, and beer-battered jalapenos. How much does it cost, Dan?
What's the name of this dog again?
It's the Dodger Burger. It has an Angus patty, a Dodger dog, caramelized onions, Budweiser barbecue sauce, and beer-battered jalapenos.
Does it come with fries?
No, it does not look like it does.
I would say that's like $12.50, but that would be in Chicago.
Oh, you're real close.
California.
When you go to Dodger Stadium, Dan, you will pay $13.50 for that burger.
Oh.
So,
well, I mean, you figure a hamburger, a regular hamburger is about $5. A hot dog is about $6. I don't understand how hot dogs cost more than the hamburgers. So, I mean, there you go.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Then you got the jalapeno. You're all set.
They wouldn't be too much extra, but you did dip in the beer batter, so I guess there's your extra dollar, right?
Yeah, you know. Well, that and you get a Budweiser barbecue sauce, so you got to make up for the the beer portion of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess for the way ballpark food goes, I guess that's kind of a deal. I mean,
it's kind of right in line what you would expect to, pay, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, nowadays when you tend to get a specialized sandwich like that, they usually throw in some fries, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, they didn't have it in the picture, and he didn't list it in the description, but maybe you do. So, I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised. Oh.
I don't know if you happened to tune in to the Milwaukee game earlier today. I tuned in, I guess, right at the right moment. I didn't get the vendors, but I guess they something I need to check out. My wife was actually talking about it because she hasn't been there yet. I guess they did a little bit of remodeling, but I guess it was more so adding more food vendors to there. They had the COO, the chief of whatever, during an inning, and he was talking about some of the foods. They added some big time smokehouse barbecue. So I don't know. I guess they're not in the greatest spot, but I think if you can do that kind of stuff for the fans, if your team's going to suck, you got to bring them there somehow, right?
Is it certified and beefified? So, we've been pretty lucky. The weather's been really good for most games, of course, except here in Chicago, where the Tigers and the White Sox did get rained out. So, Milwaukee, obviously, with the roof closed, they didn't have any problems. But we had four finals from earlier. The Nationals beat the Marlins 4-2. I watched most of that game. That was actually a really good game. The Mets shut out the Braves 6-0. The Red Sox held on to beat the Pirates 5-3, and the Rockies beat the Brewers 7-5. What I found really humorous, Dan, is the Nationals-Marlins game went 2 hours and 52 minutes, and that was including the pregame ceremony, so the game didn't start at noon like it was supposed to. The ESPN game, or the Mickey Mouse Network game, the Mets and the Braves that started at noon with all the extra commercials, went about 3 hours and 40 minutes. So I'm guessing the pace of play problem is really just a national thing and not a local thing, because, you know, both games scored 6 runs. You know, they were both pretty, you know, they started at the same time. They were pretty on target. But, you know, when you're on the Mickey Mouse Network, there's a whole bunch of extra BS that goes on. And the between inning breaks are longer. So, you know, that game went probably 30 minutes longer than a local game coverage. I don't want to hear pace of play crap anymore, because it's just the national media guys that are killing us. So
I think you should have tweeted MLB, the MLB Players Association, that little statistic analysis there. Because, you know, that was one of the things that kind of annoyed me yesterday, last night more so, was the fact that the game didn't get underway until closer to 8 o'clock. And, I mean, come on now. It's the Midwest. Both St. Louis and Chicago are in the central time zone. I mean, think about that. Even if you're an East Coaster, the game's not starting until about, you know, closer to 9. And I'm sorry, but I can't even stay up any longer. And plus one, what's his name, give up that 2-run homer. I was like, I'll just watch the highlights tomorrow morning.
Yeah, well, you know, it's weird, because one of baseball's complaints is they want to attract a younger audience. You know, I think I tweeted you and Mr. Fantasy at, was it 10:15, asking if either of you guys were still up watching the game. Of course, I knew Mr. Fantasy wasn't, but I thought you might have stuck it out for a little bit. You know, there's no young kid who has school the next day who's going to be up at 10:15 watching the Cubs-Cardinals game. I don't care who you are. Your parents aren't going to let you stay up. You know, if you're 8, 9, 10 or whatever, yeah, you know, maybe if you're a high school baseball fan, they'll let you stay up. But, you know, you can't attract a younger audience when your games end so damn late.
No, and I get it. I mean, you have to show the national coverage of the girls' basketball, but, I mean, why did you compact everything into one day like that? It's a little ridiculous.
That didn't interfere with the start time. That game was over before it was scheduled to be over. So, you know, it worked out, you know, just fine for them. They were right on. And now, you know, we're not talking about a game that went into extra innings. Of course, you know, there were quite a few pitching changes. You know, I think the Cubs used 4 or 5 guys last night. You know, the Cardinals ended up using, but the Cubs used, I think they made 5 changes. So, but what I noticed again, Dan, and again, yeah, apparently you and I are still the only two guys to figure this out. The replay system sucks, and it takes way too long.
I don't understand it, because now it's gotten to the point where you got some, you know, and I hate to say it like this, but you probably got some minimum wage or, you know, $10 to $15 an hour guy wearing an MLB jacket who comes out with 2 headsets on, so 2 umpires can listen to the headphones. I mean, it's not like the NFL or hockey where the head referee gets on the microphone and announces the, you know, the outcome of the instant replay. I mean, yesterday when I believe the Cardinals called an instant replay, the umpires, the head ump and whoever the other guy was, stood there with this kid who came out with a microphone headset, and they watched the big screen that all the fans watch.
Yes.
I mean, let's be honest, what the hell was the point of that to begin with? Number two, I mean, I think this the system just, you know, like you said, it's totally sucks. It's a complete, it's more or less a waste of time. What they're doing, it doesn't enhance the pace of play. I mean, it could be as simple as the announcer for the stadium, you know, gets the call in the booth. Maybe they should have a booth guy up there who actually calls the play. But I mean, if every stadium in America now, I think maybe Boston, and which I'll find out next week. I don't, you know, I didn't really was able to watch too much of that game today. But I believe every stadium has a big screen. I mean, why can't MLB offices, or I forgot where they said their headquarters in New York or whatever, why can't they just patch themselves in and tell you exactly what it is over the intercom? I know that sounds very Big Brother-ish, but I mean, it's a baseball park. It's not like, you know, you're there, the FBI trying to, or, you know, the FBI, but, you know, it's not like it's 1984 where we're kind of getting, you know, being told how to exercise and what time to wake up and what are you doing in the corner over there. You know, I think they could simplify it that much to where the umpires on the field don't even have to get involved. They could just call, you know, time, and instead of watching two umpires stand there and watch the big screens that the fans are watching, we could just go to commercial break right there and then. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know,
and then not only that,
you know,
not only that, I mean, they got it wrong with the Yankees and the Rays. The first one of the year, they got it wrong.
Yeah, you know, there was actually talk that they were finally going to make a control center like, you know, the NHL has. You know, all the NHL calls come out of one spot. You know, everything comes out of Toronto where their headquarters is. There, you know, there's no involvement at the park or anything, and it goes so much faster. And I just don't understand why baseball hasn't learned, or, you know, any of the other sports haven't learned. But, I mean, the minute they went to replay last night, I was like, oh, okay, I got 5 minutes. Let's see what else is on. And yet again, you know, the games take too long. Well, you know, let's not make up the problems. Let's fix the ones they actually have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of frustrating watching it going, yeah, I don't know. I just watched this game and it only took, you know, about 3 hours. I don't see what the problem is.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
but then, yeah, you get over. You know, you get over to the big money work. And, oh, God. Well, you know, technically, because it was what? It was supposed to be officially a 7:30 start, right?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, a little less than 3.5 hours. I think it ended before 11. So, but, you know, yeah, again, you know, the problem with that game, of course, is just the fact that, you know, 11 o'clock on a Sunday night, and, you know, who's left watching it? Nobody.
No, and I had to tune away. I ended up there. I had to tune away to catch the season finale of the Wild.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's people who did that. You know, I mean, there's always, you know, those you know, different things happen, you know, when you're at home like that, so... You know, like, I'm willing to bet Mr. Fantasy didn't see one pitch. You know, he's not a huge Cubs fan or a Cardinal fan. So I'm guessing that, you know, neither of them, you know, went his way.
You know, I pulled it up. The first pitch was at 7:38, and it went approximately 3 hours and 33 minutes.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? You know, that's not horrible time-wise. You know, it's just the fact that, well, the game started at 7:30. So, you know, there's just nobody there for the end of it. You know what I mean? It was a really good, really exciting game, and it got better the longer you watched it. And, you know, it was just kind of like, okay. So, you know, it was like, great, you know, people, you know, I mean, I get it. It's, you know, day one. So not everybody's screaming if, you know, they didn't, see the entire game or anything like that. I mean, you know, it's no big deal,
yeah.
But it's just kind of like, these are supposed to be your problems, and it's like you're ignoring the obvious stuff. And I just don't understand why.
We should start a list. I'll start a Google Sheet if you can help me out. And we'll track instant replays, how long they take, and when they got wrong. And here's the one thing that, we talked about last year that just kind of irked me. Not irked me, but it's the Sunday night broadcast. Call me old school, say whatever you want. But I definitely prefer a two-person broadcasting. I think it just kind of, you can, obviously now you can tell the separation between one person, Jessica Mendoza, but sometimes you don't know who's talking when it's the other two guys. And, I feel like it's almost like an independent wrestling where everyone's got to get their stuff in. Everyone's got to get their comments in. And I really wish Big Jack, they would just go to a two-person booth. I don't even care if it's, one person, one man and then Jessica Mendoza. But I did discover, kind of came up with this, I guess, on my own, that this will probably not ever happen. And it comes down to the fact that Dan Schulman is, I guess you would say a certified broadcaster, so he can kind of keep things going. Where Mendoza and they have Boone in the booth with them, right?
They did last night.
So they're both players. And unfortunately, the downside with having Jessica Mendoza in there is that she was not a Major League Baseball player. So they have to counter her, or I guess you could say add to her. Just add to her being there by having a major league ball player in the booth. So I think there's a stigma against having two non-major league baseball players in the booth. Now, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't watch the games for who's in the booth. So, I mean, for me, if it's an affirmative action type deal, put Booney out in the outfield, in the beanie, like they had did earlier in the day when you had a couple guys in the booth and you sent, Buster Olney's out in the outfield. Or I forgot who the other guy was. There's a guy, I think, in Tampa who was out in the outfield with the fans. I mean, and every so often they would go to him for stuff. I don't see why we can't just do that.
Yeah, the sad part is Mendoza's really good in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
She knows her stuff, and I'm willing to bet she probably works a little harder at it to get rid of these criticisms. There was a ton when she started. I don't remember. There was the one idiot in Atlanta, some radio guy who I think ended up getting canned for it because called her something derogatory. I think it was Boobs McGee or something like that, or just something really stupid. And I think his radio station, his sports radio station, canned him, which is what they should have done. I get it. She doesn't have the insight of being in a major league batter's box, but to be fair, I've played fast pitch softball, and it's just as difficult to hit a fast pitch softball with as close as they are to you as it is to hit a baseball. So there's ways to, make that kind of work. I still hate the fact that they got rid of John Kruk. And, of course, all they did was treat him like a clown the last couple of years he was there. But, he was at least entertaining. I mean, Boone is kind of bland. And I don't know if you saw the first game, the Rays-Yankees. And I don't remember who the first guy was announcing.
But
he was trying. Dallas Brayton was kind of funny, but he was with the bigger dude. And actually, I think this was before that game. I think Brayton did the second game, Yankees-Rays game. And he was trying way too hard to be funny, and it was just falling flat. And the guys he was working with were just kind of like, really? It might have been John, is it Shambi? I think he's one of the broadcasters they use, but yeah, he tried so hard, and every joke he told just didn't land. And he just kept trying and kept going, and they kept showing them in the booth. And I'm like, guys, come on, show the damn game. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Him and Rick Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was just like, really, you know, I'm not here to see your stand-up comedy act. You know, call the pitches, tell me what's going on, let Sutcliffe give his insight, because when you can keep him on track, he's pretty good. The problem is when you start wandering off track, so does he, you know, because they were doing the same thing. They were talking about food, you know, and then they started talking about David Ross on Dancing with the Stars. Not only did I get to hear it during the first game, I got to hear it during the last game, and it was like, really? Like, I care. So.
Well, I mean, I think everyone's trying to use the Grandpa Ross meter to get people to like them. And which I, you know, Uncle Bob got mad at me because, you know, he's like, well, yeah, you didn't like Theo's philosophy to begin with. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And I'll never turn on it. I'll never say, yeah, I liked it, because I didn't. And number two, I said this before, I don't believe that was all Theo's plan. That was, you know, accounting happens on a 5-year plan, not rebuilding a baseball team. And when you look at what the Cubs did within these 5 years, you can see exactly why I believe that it has nothing to do with Theo's plan. It's more of a Ricketts and an accounting plan, because they knew that they can make money to make. So, I don't want to get on a tangent. Sorry.
What I laughed about yesterday is, you know, you and I have talked about this fact that David Ross was a Cub for 2 seasons, wasn't he?
Yeah. I heard
he
played, it was probably 1 season actually.
Yeah.
But no, I know.
I actually heard somebody say yesterday, or actually they said it to me, what a great Cub Dexter Fowler will go down as. Dexter Fowler was here 2 years.
And they didn't even technically want him last year. They couldn't find anybody better.
Right. You know, the only reason they brought him back last year is because he signed for like $8 million. Because he couldn't get a deal anyplace else. That's the only reason he was even on that team. So, you know, it was just kind of like, okay. But, you know, I'm like, I get it. They won the World Series. And, you know, these guys will be legends in Chicago forever. You know, they'll never have to buy a drink, is how the saying goes. But don't be stupid. You know, I mean, Dexter Fowler's not an all-time great Cub. David Rossi's not an all-time great Cub. We're not going to have jersey retirement ceremonies. They're not good. Neither of them are going into the Hall of Fame when their careers are over. You know, I mean, they just happen to be on the right team at, you know, the right time, and they both hit a couple of big homers in Game 7. So they're Cubs legends now. But to call them all-time great Cubs, you got to get over yourself a little bit there.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, Uncle Bob was mad at me because he's like, oh, you're so bitter about the Theo plan. I go, well, they got lucky that it worked. And I go, that's the way it goes. They got lucky that it worked. And I still don't believe in taking a team. But that's what he thought when that was the plan. I mean, they weren't going anywhere anyway, so I guess. But regardless. It all wouldn't have also happened had Theo not been in baseball for the last 15 years or so, because all the guys that really, but you know, you think about it, all the guys that really assisted in bringing the World Series, where did they come from? His connections with the Red Sox.
Boston. You know, and yeah, you know, you've got to give him credit, but you know, people seem to forget that this just isn't Theo's job. You know, I'm guaranteeing you, C.O. Epstein probably didn't see Kyle Schwarber bat live last, you know, the year before they drafted him, but some scout did. He probably didn't see Chris Bryan hit live, probably just on tape, but some scout did. So, you know, there's people who really do the dirty work, and, you know, C.O. kind of gets to sit back and they give it all to him, And technically, he's not even the general manager of the team. Jed Hoyer is. So, it, you know, it's such a weird setup here because I don't think you hear it with any other team where, you know, they credit the president of the team, with the exception of the Dallas Cowboys in football. Jerry Jones gets all the credit regardless. But I don't think there's another team in baseball where, you know, the general manager is as ignored as Jed Hoyer is. I mean, I'm willing to bet there's people out there who don't know he's the general manager still.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, like I said, Theo deserves credit. You know, it worked. You know, that's fantastic. Everybody's happy. But, excuse me. Sorry, yeah, you have to excuse me. I have a bit of a cold. So, but, yeah, you know, I mean, you've got to kind of temper these things down, you know, and I'm starting to wonder in 5 years when David Ross goes on the Hall of Fame ballot if the Chicago writers with votes are going to vote for him. You know, he's going to get like 4 or 5 votes because of those guys.
No, I mean, I don't know about that. I mean, I think this is one of the reasons why the fans aren't allowed to vote for stuff like that because, you know, I have friends that have been diehard Cub fans their entire life and, you know, never watched a day of Dancing with the Stars, but all of a sudden, Grandpa Rusty, and I'm like, oh, guys, come on. Oh, did you see his performance? No, I didn't watch his performance last night.
No,
I don't care.
You know, if you could tell me exactly what time he was on, I would turn it on to see him do it once. But I'm not sitting through a 2-hour show just to see David Ross dance.
No.
So, but yeah, I'm as happy as anybody else that they won. I really am, and I know it doesn't seem like it, but it's just the stupidity just drives me wild. And it's like, really? You know, so I it's like, God, please shut up. So, you know, I mean, you know, when you think about Cubs outfielders, is Dexter Fowler a greater Cub than Sammy Sosa, who everybody hates?
No. No.
Yeah. So,
well, and, you know, even my wife, last night, you know, bottom of the first, Dexter Fowler steps to the plate, steps in the batter's box, and what happens? Standing ovation. They're not giving him a standing ovation for how great of a Cub he was. The only reason the Cardinals fans are doing that is because the Cardinals, quote, stole him away from the Cubs. Because
yeah.
The Cubs were not
who didn't want him.
We're not crazy enough to pay him $82 million over 4 or 5 years. You know, let's see how much they're clapping in 2 more seasons. You know, let's be honest. I mean, I think he's definitely contributed. He was the leadoff hitter. You know, he definitely played that role. He played his role well. But when it comes to the defense and all the other aspects of the game, he wouldn't have been there if it weren't for – he wouldn't have gotten there if it weren't for Jason Hayward. Now, I know everyone's upset about it because of his batting, but if you did not have Jason Hayward in right field next to Dexter Fowler all season, it would have been a totally different game.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the one thing is, you know, it's not that Dexter Fowler's not a very good major league player. You know, there's nothing wrong with him as a major league player. It's just the level that he's on now, I'm just kind of like, wait, what? He's what? You know, and it's like, you know, will the Cubs miss him? Well, you know, with the way Joe Maddon manages this team, they might, because you brought your young guy in and he didn't start in center field last night. So obviously Maddon doesn't like him. So, you know, you've got to wonder if we're going to get to watch all the BS juggling of lineups and all the garbage he does to, you know, get the media attention that he loves so much.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, you know, you've got a fantastic everyday lineup. All you got to do is plug it in and run it out there. You know, you don't have to play too many games this year. You know, all you have to do is find a way to get Javier Baez his at-bats. That's all you have to do. Otherwise, your everyday lineup is set. But of course, last night, we don't get it. We get Ben Zobrist in right and Javier Baez at second on opening day. So, you know, it's like, great. I mean, did you think the stage was too big for Alberto Almora? You know, I mean, eventually you got to play the guy to see if he's a legitimate center fielder, you know, and it's like, okay, well, we're going to sit him on the bench. You know, Carlos Martinez was too good. Of course, the Cubs made him look like a Cy Young Award winner. What did he strike out, 10, 12 guys yet last night?
Yeah.
So.
You did put me on that one because you said Javier Baez, but I think you're talking about Albert Almora. And I'll ask the Carmen on that one just for one simple fact that I really like that setup. Although I'd like to see, you know, Almora and what his speed is, because maybe that could help cover better ground. Because obviously we know Kyle Schwarber is kind of going to be your in the outfield here. I don't want to say weak link, but maybe not the fastest guy. And I think had you had Hayward and Wright, there was that one play that Zobrist, you know, kind of missed out on that I know for sure Hayward would have caught. I do like, but knowing that they signed Zobrist to a too long of a contract, and, you know, let's be honest, he's Joe's guy. So I prefer to see that lineup in the outfield. What I didn't like with the batting lineup was starting off with Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo. I still think that you should have Baez or Russell up at the top, and at least put Schwarber at two, if not five.
But I just gave up. What I did laugh every time I hear this, Dan. Now I laugh. I think I've heard. You know, well, you know, like I heard three or four different guys talk about pitch framing again, even though we've now totally debunked this as being legitimate. I heard, you know, Doug Glanville mentioned it in whatever game he was doing. They talked about it with Yadier Molina because he got his big contract extension. And then I heard it today while I was watching the Braves and Mets about what a great pitch framer Tyler Flowers is. And that's why he was getting the start today with Julio Teheran. And every time they say it, I just start to laugh because it's been totally debunked. You know, we know it's not a real stat. People who have played in the game debunked this. You know, and like even this morning, and this was hilarious. I'm sure you saw the stat, Dan. Chris Bryant has the highest launch angle out of any major league player last year.
Yeah, I heard that.
Chipper Jones was on MLB Central this morning. He's got a new book out. I believe it's called Ball Player. And they were asking him about that, and he looked at the guy and said, "So what does that mean? His homers are hit higher than everybody else's?" You know, not one probably former player, or maybe even not a player now, gives a crap about this sabermetric BS. You know, like Chipper Jones even contradicted it today, talking about how when he played the game, the object was to hit the ball with backspin so it would rise. Now players today are told not to do that. You know, and it, and obviously Chipper Jones turned out to be a pretty good player. You know, in case you didn't notice, even with me drafting him a few years in a row and trying to kill his career, you know, in my fantasy league, he still turned out okay. And, you know, I mean, the more I hear these former major league players talk, the bigger idiots I realize these sabermetric guys are. But yet they still manage to sell it, you know, to these morons like Brian Kenny, who eats it all up. You know, I mean, you can make up a sabermetric stat and give it to Brian Kenny, and he'll publish it as fact. You know, he'll probably try to write a book about it because he just eats up all that garbage. And, you know, it's so weird that people don't realize that none of the players care about this crap. You know, it doesn't teach you anything about a player.
No, and, you know, to go back to the pitch framing, you know, if they want to mention that about Yadier, it didn't make a difference when one of the first things they brought up last night was the fact that the umpire behind the plate called them outside but won't give you that inside. And sure enough,
yeah,
there was a pitch by on both sides. You know, Lester and Martinez both threw a pitch in the same exact spot. I think Yadier pulled it back in, and it was still, it didn't matter. You know, it was still whatever the strike. I don't think he pulled it in. He was actually outside. He would call a strike. Same thing on.
Yeah, and you know,
it was a ball.
You know, and they dogged Wilson Contreras. You know, they dogged Wilson Contreras again on commentary because they talk about how he moves too much back there. It doesn't matter. As, you know, every umpire has their zone, just like you saw in the scouting report. You know, you're trying to tell me teams don't scout umpires? If you think that, you're a moron. You know, every team's got probably every strike an umpire's ever called. Oh. You know, and it's just like, really? You know, it's a, you know, okay, so we take Wilson Contreras out of the Cubs lineup because he can't pitch frame. Wow, well, they wouldn't have tied that game up last night, huh? So.
The guy would have been in, and he wouldn't have done anything unless you, you know, upset him by not putting him on the playoff roster.
You know, and then you're sabermetrically breaking down Chris O'Brien's launch angle to me. Do you honestly think by me not watching him play that I don't know he's good? You know, is there anybody who watches any kind of baseball that can't realize from watching Chris O'Brien play that he's a very good player? You know, or Mike Trout or Miggy or basically any of the guys who are wearing a uniform, because you have to be an incredible player to be in the major leagues. I mean, if you think about it this way, Dan, the 25th guy on every major league roster would be the best guy you ever played with in little league or high school or however far you made it. Even if he's a bench warmer, he would be the best guy you'd ever played with. That's how talented these guys are. But,
Tommy?
You know, that, yeah, it's like they, right. Yeah, sadly, even Tommy La Stella, you know, and you know I hate his guts. You know, he shouldn't, he's an embarrassment to the uniform. I hope he's the guy who gets sent down when that pitcher comes back and I don't have to deal with him anymore. He can go have his tantrum and go back to the boardwalk on, you know, New Jersey, and maybe they'll start, he can start in the new version of the Jersey Shore or something. You know, that could be his next career in life. So, but, yeah, I mean, anybody who's watched any amount of baseball realizes these guys are good, and it takes the best pitchers in the world to get them out. So. You know, like I saw a pitch today. Mark Reynolds got fooled for the Rockies, but he was able to keep his weight on his back foot, and he hit the ball over the left field fence. He was way out in front of the pitch because the guy fooled him with a changeup, but he hung it a little bit. So it stayed up in the zone, and he was able to make the adjustment late, and he hit, I think it was a two-run homer to left field. Now, you know, again, Mark Reynolds isn't a guy we're going to see elected into the Hall of Fame. You know, he's had some really good power years. I think they said he's a homer away from moving into like the top 200 of all time or something like that. So obviously he's had a really good, powerful career, but you know, he's not getting a plaque in Cooperstown, but that's just how talented these guys who are on rosters and fill out rosters are. You know, and it just baffles me that, you know, we're stupid and we're not supposed to know that. And, you know, I need your sabermetric breakdown for you to tell me, you know, Kyle Schwarber was a great hitter coming out of college. Yeah, I think we saw that, guys. Thanks for the help. You know, where are you? You know what where are they on the guys that don't make it, Dan? You know, the guys they rate so highly that don't make it. You know, where are they on those guys?
Well, we don't talk about that anymore.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious. So. Yeah, no, just one of those things, I guess. But yeah, it's just, you know, it can be incredibly frustrating to watch. So So, but yeah, now Dan and I had a free roll yesterday for FanDuel. So we jumped in and played some FanDuel. And if you listen to the podcast yesterday, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I built a lineup. I can tell you the lineup that I did on air with Mr. Fantasy stunk yesterday. Masahiro Tanaka was just an absolute bust. I thought he had an opportunity to be pretty decent, and he just sucked. You know, my free roll lineup that I did a little better. I had Bumgarner as my pitcher, so that helped. You said yours kind of struggled.
Oh, big time. I mean, I picked a lot of the hot stars, you know, Chris Bryant, Gary Sanchez, but you know, like you said, Tanaka, but the only one who really panned out was Kiermaier and A.J. Pollock.
So yeah, and
Bumgarner.
So yeah, didn't he homered off Bumgarner, didn't he? I thought I saw that.
Yeah.
While I had the game on.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, if you're in San Francisco though, and you haven't signed up, I get their email since I bought tickets, but two home runs, 11 strikeouts, you're gonna be able to get tickets for $11. So you better.
To
their website and see about those $1 tickets.
So, well, that's cool. Now, I did build two lineups today. I built one around Clayton Kershaw, and I built one around Justin Verlander. Currently, my Kershaw lineup appears to be just out of the money. Looks like I'm 3 points out of the money. He put up huge numbers. He had 52. I paired him up with Yasmani Grandal because I'm just kind of stupid and I do that for some reason. And Grandal came through with 40.9 points. The problem is the only other guys who scored for me were, I had Andrew Toles who put up 9.2. Kevin Pillar had 9.2. But the rest of my team kind of struggled, so I'm probably not going to get in the money. Do I have anybody left still playing? No, I'm done with that team. So yeah, it's not gonna get in the money. Now, you know, the sad part is the other lineup I built around Justin Verlander, but luckily I didn't put it in a money league. I just put it in a free league because I was worried about getting rained out. So that's really struggling. I did have Bryce Harper in that lineup, and I had Mark Trumbo, who both put up over 20 points. But yeah, I'm not gonna win any money on my Clayton Kershaw lineup, which is too bad.
Yeah.
So we'll try again.
FanDuel had 6 days of different little things you could do, and the last one today was put together a lineup for tomorrow. So I really went through, kind of going back and forth throughout my day at work, putting together a lineup. And once I was finally done, I felt like I had a solid lineup. I was finally done, and I hit submit. It was. They said you have insufficient funds because free was for a $5 game. You guys are killing me. You can't really just putting people in the $5 ones without them knowing. I mean, to be honest, I would have been pissed if I did have money in there. Because I mean, let's be honest, I'm not that great of a daily fantasy guy to begin with. I know baseball. I love baseball. I just, when it comes to that, I'm not the greatest, and there's no way in hell I would have spent $5 on a lineup. Not even if you gave me $5. I would have put over five lineups over 5 days. That's just me, but so I was a little disappointed with that one. So, and then I really wish they kind of gave you an option. I don't know if DraftKings does this or Yahoo, but I wish they had an option where you could just put together a lineup. Because, I mean, if you're in FanDuel, you're in DraftKings, everything's pretty much graded. You know, they're all worth the same amount. You know, I mean, I know each league is different. You know, each site is how they, charge on their players. But, I mean, the cost of each player is pretty much going to be the same if you choose a 50-50 league or a $5, this league. I don't know why they don't let you just put together a lineup and save it.
What I managed to do to myself in FanDuel, Dan, is I was doing so well with the basketball that I decided, okay, I'm gonna throw a buck on a game and see how it goes. you know, because I had been scoring over 300 points regularly. My team scored over 300 points, and I got nowhere close to winning money. I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'm done with basketball.
So, better luck next year.
You know, I've been doing, you know, I was trying the free leagues, and I was just doing so well. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna try one. You know, I'm gonna try one, see how it goes. I'll enter one of these leagues. I'm doing really well. And sure enough, man, my lineup had a really good day. You know, I think I was up around 310, 315. I thought, okay, well, at least I'll get my dollar back. You know, worst case scenario. Man, I go on there. I was nowhere close to money. I was like, good Lord, man, what are these guys? You know, yeah, that's it. I'm going to stick to the free games and just keep practicing for the rest of the year. Like, I'll go back to spending my money on baseball because, you know, basketball and hockey, I'm nowhere close to figuring it out. Basketball, I thought I was on to something, but, like, yeah, okay, great. I'm like, yeah, you know, always next year.
Now, I do have a request for you since you are at some availability this week. While you're checking in on your yearly, you know, the long year-long or season-long fantasy team in our Sportsman Radio, you should kind of click on over and check out the Yahoo Fantasy. And I know the scoring's different. You know, the cost of players is different. But kind of, you know, maybe take a look at that and see what you think this week.
Yeah, you know, I'll have to, you know, it's one of those things that's weird because, like, I've always been meaning to look at it, and I just, one of those things I just kind of forget about. It's like, oh, well, I should go over there and check that out, you know. Send me an email and remind me, will you? You know, or a text or something, just so I remember.
I know if I wait any longer, once we get into the season, you'll be like, oh, I'll wait till next season.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, if it goes too far, it'll be like, yeah, I'll check it next year. But, yeah, just ship me something off and remind me. And I'll swing over there and take a look at it and see how it seems.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like when I started, there was just FanDuel and DraftKings. And I didn't like the DraftKings setup, so I went with FanDuel. You know, and then Yahoo jumped on the scene a little later with their stuff, and I've just, you know, it's kind of like, my money's here. I'll just kind of stick where my money is. And, you know, I do like the new rule changes they came up with, though.
Yeah, well, I think you know, for fans, I was leaning for Yahoo last season was because there was a lot more free games.
Yeah, if you want to get me, give me free stuff, and I'll be part of your league. There's no doubt about that at all. So I like the free rolls and getting a chance to kind of get comfortable with what's going on. So, you know, because it always takes you a little bit to kind of, you know, figure out, you know, what works for you, that kind of stuff. So, you know, we'll have to, I'll definitely have to.
Speaking of the Yahoo and the season long, every pitcher I had did not get a W yesterday. I think I did get one quality start yesterday, but we got the whole week, so I'm not too concerned about it. The one thing I was a little annoyed by, and you'll appreciate this one, so I did pick Colin McHugh, who like on the 10-day, so no big deal, right? So I went through all the players, and I did this Saturday night, Sunday morning. I don't remember exactly which one. I waited to Saturday night. I kept going back in, even though I was supposed to go. I wanted to go to sleep, but I kept going back in to finish off the draft because I wanted to see my team, you know, just see my team again and start putting my lineups together. And I noticed I had the guy on the DL. So I went in, and I went, all right. Well, who's pitching on Monday? Because I need a guy. If I'm going to pick somebody, I'm going to pick someone who's pitching starting on Monday. Because obviously they wouldn't give it to me on Sunday. But I guess it was after midnight or whatever, you know, time zone they're in. I don't know if Yahoo's on the East Coast time zone. So I put in my bid. I picked for Edison Volquez because he started today. And I got the email yesterday or this morning that it was all processed, it was off waivers and all that good stuff. I go to start him, and he's not available until tomorrow.
Oh, jeez.
I was, as you could say, a little annoyed because I specifically went around looking for someone who was starting today. You know, I know we'll make it up. Hopefully he gets I know with this week, their schedule's all thrown off, so hopefully he gets to start on Sunday possibly. But I don't know. I was just kind of laughing. You know, you can't get mad because it is what it is. But, you know, it was one of those things where I'm like, I spent like a half hour going through everything, going through a schedule, looking up this, that, and then he doesn't start. Or I don't get to start him.
Yeah, I had it today right away. I had one of my starters from the auction league facing one of my starters from the snake league. So like, well, it looks like I'm taking an L here either way. So
yeah,
you know, just one of those things that happens.
That was kind of one of the hard things about yesterday, and maybe I have to learn to not get excited about who's playing, because I mean, let's be honest, I didn't pick up Zach Greinke this year just because I've had him on my team for like the last 3 years. And I figured it's time for a break. But I mean, at the end of the day, and again, here's another guy I didn't pick like I have over the last couple of years, is Chris Archer. And you obviously know I'm a Cubs fan. So going into yesterday, I was rooting, I was like Yankees, Giants, and Cubs all day. That's who's going to win. I've got, you know, in my lineup, I've got Tanaka, you know, in my one league, and then I have Madison Baumgartner, I think, in the auction. So I'm looking for my W's, and it was a rough day, Big Jack. I didn't get any W's.
it can fall that way, you know, if you're not careful, you run into those. You know, those setups where it's like, okay, what's going on? Why aren't I getting anything? So, but, you know, it's always, you know, fun to get the draft, you know, get drafted and do all that stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, of course, when you kind of the top guys you pick, even Chris Bryant, you want them on the first day just to kind of take off for you and, you know, put up some points. But it is what it is. 162 game season. Granted, our fantasy almost goes that far. But, you know, if you make it to the playoffs, so I'm not too worried about it. We got a whole, you know, got till Sunday. But yesterday I texted you and, you know, I was listening to CBS Sports Radio out of Kankakee. They do, you know, they don't have their own broadcasters. I'm still trying to figure out how to get us on there because at least we'd be semi-local as we were in the same state. And they had this guy just running his mouth. It wasn't the Gresh. It was some other angry guy. I don't understand what it is with having a solo host who's just angry and has to yell. Does that really get ratings? There was nothing else on. And, you know, sometimes I get really sick of listening to pop music radio stations, even if my wife's in the car. And we were out too early for NASCAR to be on the country station, so I couldn't listen to that. So he's just going off on Major League Baseball. He's going off on it. Now, nobody's going to sit around for 12 hours and watch it. And, you know, of course, he only put out the station's phone number. He didn't put out his Twitter account because I'm assuming he's in that range where he doesn't have one. So, you know, that he can't get annoying tweets from me that kind of put his foot in his mouth. So it kind of annoyed me. He just was going on and on. And, I mean, we were going grocery shopping, so we're in the car in and out for about an hour and a half. And he literally spent that entire hour and a half or 2 hours just on the NCAA and the women's basketball. Now, I get it. It's something, you know, it's definitely important in the college. I don't personally, nothing against the girls, because I'm not watching the guys either. So, you know, but I would think nationally with it being opening day, you would spend some more time on baseball and not spend it so much on NCAA basketball and then the women's basketball. And, you know, one of his complaints was how late the game was on Friday night and how nobody in the country in the right mind is going to watch it. I'm sorry, Big Jack, but if I were one of those people that, you know, still drank and went out to bars, I think I'd be watching it because guess what would be on at the bar? Sports. That's why they call them sports bars.
Yeah.
You know, so that I don't understand and why he's so upset about the lack of national interest in NCAA. And, you know, at the end of the day, I wanted to just get on the phone with him and tell him what I believe you or my dad or kind of both of you together. Well, if you don't have money on it, then I'm not interested because that's the only reason everyone gets involved in the Final Four to begin with, because of the money, about the gambling. It doesn't really have anything to do about the school unless you actually went there.
Yeah.
You know, it killed me that he's like, nobody's going to watch the Major League Baseball all day. Well, no, I didn't technically watch it the entire time because we did a couple of things, but when I was at home, I had it on my iPad. I had it on my TV. My wife wanted to watch something for a little bit, so I switched off the iPad, you know, switched it off the TV, had it on both iPads actually going in at the same time, hers and mine. So, I mean, I don't understand why someone, especially a sports broadcaster, you know, obviously not too many people want to work Sunday. He's got the job, but it just baffled me. That's why you got that tweet yesterday about us watching baseball all day. I mean, I know you weren't listening, but I don't understand. What is the draw with these radio stations and hiring these angry guys that just want to yell at nobody for 3 hours long?
Yeah, you know, I've always wondered why they yell and then don't take calls. You know, it's like you don't express the opposing viewpoint, but then I guess there's always a possibility nobody's calling.
Yeah.
So.
But, I mean, you've got a show for hours. You're just going to literally spend it on the girls' basketball? I mean, and not only that, it's just kind of like, make me want to watch it. The way you're presenting everything, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I tuned in for the final 10 seconds because I wanted to know who won.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. You know, that was about my interest. You know, there was, you know, like I thought it was interesting that team beat Connecticut because, you know, Connecticut had won like 100,000 games in a row or whatever. But, you know, like even tonight, it's North Carolina and Gonzaga. And, you know, I've got a free MLB extra innings preview and the Mariners game starts at 7:10. What do you think I'm watching, Dan?
Gonzaga. Well, you know, that's even in my office. It's full of men, full of guys. The only one who's going to be watching that game tonight, one guy. And I already told you why he's going to be watching it. Where did he go to college? Gonzaga.
Yeah, you know, if I went to Gonzaga or North Carolina, I would probably be watching the game too. And, you know, I'll flip over to get the score, but that's all I'm going to do. Freaking King Felix is pitching for the Mariners tonight. It's like his ninth opening day start. I'm going to miss that. Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of that, Clayton Kershaw is now tied for sixth. Very surprised to him.
All right, the music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. So don't worry, don't panic, though. We're back tomorrow at 5:30 live. We'll do it all again, I promise you that. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Get over there. Check out what's going on. Follow that link over to the Facebook page, and please give that a like. We greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, @SportsTimeRadio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well. So look us up, questions, comments, whatever. We'll have a good time with you. As always, thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.